وعليكم السلام. Any of these three things, we can say yes. But that Allah will scatter the bones and bring all those. We've not read that from the pious predecessors, rahimahumullah, or from any authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding this matter. And many of the scholars have spoken regarding it. If there is, they would mention it. Al-Imam ibn Taymiyyah would mention it. If he didn't, others before him, Ahmad bin Hanbal would mention it. That even those who slaughter on the day of Eid, and you would not read regarding slaughtering on the day of Eid when any alim would say it exists. I've not seen anyone. You can read Nailul Authar, you can see Fathul Bari, you can see most of those books that the scholars depend on narrations that are authentic. You hardly see them, you can not see them, Allahu Alam, mentioning things like that. If it exists, they will mention it. Rahimahumullah. In some narrations, there are mawazin. In some narration, there is mizan. There are a lot of explanations that the scholars have made. But Sheikh Salih ibn al-Uthaymeen explained and said that what is closest is that when it comes in jam'u, he's talking about the deeds. Mawazin bima'ana mawzoon. The meaning of what is measured. Those ones would be a lot of them. Those ones would be a lot. He gave other explanations. I said, and that when it comes with mufrad, then it means that person's, that individual's weight. He gave that explanation. He also quoted what some other scholars before him had said. That some of them said that when he says mawazin, it is talking about the scales of each of the umam. That because each ummah, their scales will be different. And it will be different from the scale of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he gave other explanations. But he gave preference to saying that mawazin meant mawzun, what is measured, which is the good deed, or the person himself, as the case may be. That in those cases, then it is mentioned in jamal. And that when it has to do with the scale itself, there's a difference between the scale itself and what is measured on the scale. That it is what is measured on the scale that is more than one. So that's mentioned with the plural. What is the scale itself is mentioned in cases where we have it mentioned as singular. Allahu Alam. He alone did not do that. Some of those who raised this matter did not clarify the issue. Some of those who raised this matter, they did not clarify the issue. They would just quote the statements and leave it like that. But Sheikh Uthaymeen did, rahimahullah, in his second volume of his Sharh on Aqidatul Wasitiyya. Now, alaykum salam. It's not wrong to make rudud on the people of Bid'ah. You make rudud on the people of Bid'ah. But if the rudud, they didn't say go to their majalis, when he proves 1 point, say 1 point. They didn't say that. And they didn't also say invite yourselves to a stadium, Ahlul Sunnah, Imam Ahlul Sunnah and Imam Ahlul Bid'ah. So when they make one statement, you refute it. When they make one statement, you make your own. Then give you 20 minutes to talk. No one said that amongst the imam. But it is known that when they speak or write something, you speak and write in explanation to the people so that the truth is established and is never seen as something that's vanquished by falsehood. But to say we sit down together and start, something close to that is what people do today. They refer to it, they say it is nadwa. It has no basis. There is muzakaratul ilm bayna tulab wal ulama. Tulab can sit down and say, please, what do you know about so-so mas'ala amongst themselves? Each person is mentioning, this hadith is authentic, this hadith is not authentic, so-so reported this, this mas'ala is like this. It's not necessary that any one of them is more learned than the other. When ulama do that, they do that to get benefit from their colleague, and he also gets benefits from them. So they do that, that's known. It's known in the history of Islam. Al-Imam Abu Zura, he has records of Muzakaratul Ilm with Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. Many of the scholars, there's hardly any scholar you read about, you not read his Muzakaratul Ilm with his Zumala, with his colleagues. But when they are doing Muzakaratul Ilm, they went to invite people and say, me and Ali ibn al-Madini and Ahmad bin Hanbal want to discuss whether it is permissible to sit in the masjid before Tahiyyatul Masjid today. let Ali ibn al-Madini come with his proof and Ahmad ibn Hanbal will come with, you never see that kind of a thing being said. And that's why those dawrat or nadwat or what people call it, what benefit does it bring to those people who organize it themselves? La ta'ila tata'atahu. You will not see any benefit in it except talk and talk. And in this generation where a lot of people have very little sincerity, the ummah is just, people are just trying to build up and trying to become very good Muslims. You bring people to a situation where their shaitan is able to act upon them. When the people see the truth, they hardly reject, they hardly accept. So when they make those nadwat, how many people said there that, I didn't know this before I now know it. I didn't believe this before I now believe it. Because the issue is not what is the truth. The issue is who was Ghalib and who was Maghlub Ali. Who was victorious and who was submerged, who was overcome. So that the people go out and say, our ustaz, subhanallah, if you see. So thereafter, what else? Thereafter, what else? So those things don't have any basis. And we say that those people who do that, if they say there is a basis for it, let them bring it. Whether in Kitab, whether in Sunnah, someone asked Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, I live in a place where there are the people of innovation. If I mention a hadith to them, they reject. Should I go and argue? He said, keep quiet. So now, what about the people of Sunnah together? They sit down in the awam and say they are doing muzakaratul ilm. They should bring the proof for it. But you find out that those things are majalis siyasiyah, political sittings, talk your own, we talk our own. At the end of the day, they say, you know, nobody should say something is more superior. You know, everybody has evidence. Let's just learn to understand ourselves. What place does that have in realm? Someone is saying that if you do something, it's an innovation. The other one is saying that, no, if you do it, it is sunnah. And you are saying everybody has evidence. Can that single thing be sunnah and bid'ah at the same time? So when they leave the place, they say, no, let us learn to appreciate ourselves. La, it's not possible. Let everybody act upon what he believes. Kul kullun ya'malu ala shakilatihi. Let them act upon what they believe based on the evidences. If they are to label ilm, and that's what they understand based on Qawaidul Ilmiyyah, it is not obligatory that they follow what other than them is saying. If they are ulama, it is not obligatory that they follow the fatwa of another alim. They go ahead with what knowledge makes clear to them as much as they are sincere. So it is not compelling that they have to agree with the rest of the people. And that's why, so at the end of the day, what those gatherings end up is, you know, we know that you have evidences. You also have evidence. So inshallah, let's just understand that each person has evidence. Where is that coming from? When the companions met and discussed, the one will succumb for the other based on superior evidence. So but today, where are the superior evidences? People will even know the truth in such sittings and they will hide it. They will keep it. They will not say it, because if they said it, the people will not accept them as ustaz again. So they think that it is demeaning. So the little ikhlas they have, they still carry it to those kind of gatherings and destroy it at the end of the day, Allah understand. So we are saying that basically those kind of sittings don't have any evidences. So what the best you can do is, and a person of innovation says something around where you are, if you are able, you have the knowledge, you have a gathering, or you can write something regarding these things are not in Islam. But to go and then sit down, he says A, you say no, it is not A, it is A, B, C, D, E. If he plunks your head in that kind of a sitting, then you have yourself to blame. فَلَا تَلُومَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَكَ. You will not have anyone to blame except oneself for having gone to sit down in that kind of a place in the first place. Allahu A'lam. Walaikum salam. Let's take one from this bicycle rider.
No. How do you differentiate between, for example, when you're taking the letter, you mentioned Sufyan, you mentioned the name of the person, then you mentioned Sufyan, how do you differentiate between the two Sufyan?
It depends on who is talking and who are those in the tobacco of that person. Who is talking? If the person is saying our teachers, is that person in the level of the person who can come, who can meet Sufyan al-Thawri? Sufyan al-Thawri and Sufyan ibn Uyayna, yes, they lived at the same time. But Sufyan al-Thawri a'la ka'ban min Sufyan ibn Uyayna. Sufyan ibn Thawri was more learned and elderly than Sufyan ibn Uyayna. He left him. Ibn Thawri died, Ibn Thawri, Ibn Yazid, Sufyan ibn Yazid al-Thawri, he died leaving Ibn Uyayna. So Ibn Uyayna was they were practically in the same tabaqah, but he was of a lesser level in age and in ilm compared to Sufyan al-Thawri. So it depends on who is talking. That will make you understand which Sufyan is being referred to and the people being mentioned. That will make you understand which Sufyan is it being referred to. If the people are those who are in the early stage, then you know that no, it should be Malik. If he's talking about Malik, he's talking about Waqi ibn al-Jarrah, he's talking about Ibn al-Mubarak, the most likely thing is Sufyan al-Thawri. But if he's talking about people like Abdurrahman ibn Mahdi, Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Qattan, Imam al-Shafi'i, it's possible that it's Sufyan ibn Uyayna. So it depends on who is talking and about who is he talking. Then you get to know this. You will know this over time, inshallah. I mean, the last question, inshallah. You bought the land from the owners of the church. Yes, yeah, since they bought the land, it's not Ardun Maksuba. It's not a land that is acquired forcefully, because it's not permissible to pray or build a masjid on a land that is forcefully acquired. They refer to it as Ardun Maksuba. It's not permissible. But if the land is a land that is bought, like you said, it's not, there's nothing wrong about that. It's not Ardun Maksuba, it's just an acquired, legally acquired land. No, there is nothing. There is nothing on that. Some people will say they should pour water, but that was restricted to the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Some Christians came from the area of Yemen. They came to tell the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that there is a church where they live. This hadith is in Sahih Muslim. And they met the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So they requested that, what should they do? The Prophet made wudu in a bowl, and he told them to go and pour it in that area. They said our area is hot. Before we get there, the whole thing will have evaporated, gotten dry. The Prophet said, pour more water. If it will not increase it, illa khairan. It will not increase it except in good. So they said they got there and they poured that kind of a water. So if people want to say they poured that, we'll ask them, who made wudu to your own water? Who blessed your own water that which you want to make wudu? So you can't make evidence with things like that. What the ulama have said about things like that is that a church can be converted to a masjid. They didn't say then pour water, because there is no person in the status of a Nabi who will bless the water for you. But there is a church that can become a mosque. There are Muslims that can pray in a place referred to before as a church. But there is no Nabi that can bless the water for you. So you don't need to pour the water. Allahu a'lam. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.